That's where the bullet exited my shirt. Across my chest, you'll see a little cut. That cut is where the bullet went through the front of my shirt and then out through the side. I want you to think for a second, what is the probability that a car going at 40 miles an hour, machine gunning the car full of holes, and the bullet goes through your shirt but does not touch you? What is the probability of that? 1 in 1 billion. So you can say that's a huge coincidence, or you can say that's a God incident.
So what might it take for God to get your attention? We're launching a series today with Peter Freisler, president and CEO of Polydeck, and he will unpack more of his testimony on this episode of FCCI's Pathway to Purpose podcast. I'm Ken Powell, your host. And if you're listening to this podcast episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Buzzsprout, what have you, let me also encourage you to jump over to our YouTube channel and watch this episode so you don't miss some of the visual content that Peter includes in his story as he unpacks this transformation that occurred in his life when God really became central and he realized that God needed to permeate every aspect of his personal life, business life, and social responsibility. You can find the link to the YouTube version of this podcast in the show notes. Now, as powerful as that moment was for Peter when the bullets were flying and he realized God's protection there in South Africa, there was another moment in his life when he determined to make a radical shift in his approach to life and business, which had significant ramifications on his business practices and on how his team was expected to operate on a daily basis. If you're wondering how to infuse your business with biblical strategies and kingdom objectives, then please keep listening. Here's Peter.
I think what makes my talk unique is that 8 years ago, Peter Freisler was not a nice boss. He used and abused people. He was someone that people could hear me coming long before they saw me. And to this day, if you go through older employees at our company, they say, "Phew, that guy, we just endured this company." It was rough because I had no part of who really what I was. I was abusing people. And now what you're about to see is what happens after God touches a man's heart. And so what you're seeing is not me. If it was up to me, I'd still be in the old Peter, and that's not a guy you would want to see. So again, I love Mother Teresa. She has these wonderful, simple sayings. And one of them, she said, is that all we are is a pencil in God's hand. Every one of us is, we're no great people. We're just simply pencils in God's hand. And in my case, a broken pencil. And only God can use a broken pencil to draw a straight line. And hopefully you're going to see that. I'm no special man. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life. And a lot of things I wish I didn't do. I wish I had it all again, as someone said earlier yesterday. We don't get a second chance, we get one chance. And I hope that I can live the second half of my life without regrets, and that's what I want to show you today. So a little bit about my story. It started off, Walt said it well, my dad started off in South Africa as a young man escaping Germany in the Second World War. That's him on a ship down to Cape Town in South Africa. You'll see over there, many people say, well, you know, our company started in a garage. Well, guess what? This one truly did start in a garage. My dad can really explain afterwards if you want to hear some more stories, war stories, about how the company started. Kind of similar to what the Green family spoke about yesterday. Steve spoke about his dad. And so I've kind of got the same story, but mine is on a very small scale. So please bear with me. And you'll see on the right-hand bottom corner, that was the first company vehicle, a little scooter that my dad used to get to the mines in South Africa. This is the American dream, or any young man's dream, to start off with a single dollar and to build a company that supplies mining equipment globally today. Started off with $1 deposited in 1958 in a bank account in Johannesburg. So it shows you, if you're persistent and you really work hard, you can make it. So, Dad, thanks for all the hard work. Promised myself I wouldn't do that, but this is our plant in South Carolina. On the right-hand bottom corner, we opened a plant recently in Santiago, Chile, and we have some employees in Arequipa, Peru. God had a sense of humor where he put the gold and copper mines, and we kind of chased them around the world and put our facilities around there. This was where I originally started in South Africa. My dad started the company there, but we had a company in South Carolina, started in 1978 by my dad's partner. And I had to make a decision. Was I going to live in South Africa, or was I going to go to the land of milk and honey, America, where the American dream is available? And I wasn't sure. So I prayed. I said, God, please, this is a big decision. I need some help. And God answered my prayer in a very, very strange and mysterious way. My dad and I were in the car on the way home, and we stopped at a red light, and a car pulled out in front of us, probably from here to you. And I thought, that's weird. I mean, why would a car stop or break down right in front of me? And the next thing, the back doors opened, and two guys jumped out with AK-47 machine guns and emptied the machine gun into my car. Why were we in the car? Not out the car. And let me show you how God speaks. No decision, right? But let me show you a little bit about why that red line is there. Let me show you how God can speak. You see that small little hole there? That's where the bullet exited the door. So you say to yourself, oh, well, that's nothing. I mean, that's just a bullet hole. Let me show you something. On the other side is an AK-47 armor-piercing bullet, what it'll do to the body of a car. Can you imagine what that'll do to your body? Let me show you how close this bullet came. Oops, sorry, I go the wrong way. That's where the bullet exited my shirt. Across my chest, you'll see a little cut. That cut is where the bullet went through the front of my shirt and then out through the side. I want you to think for a second, what is the probability that a car going at 40 miles an hour, machine gunning the car full of holes, and the bullet goes through your shirt but does not touch you? What is the probability of that? One in a billion. So you can say that's a huge coincidence. Or you can say that's a God incident. And that's really what I felt. And at that moment, I said, God, you obviously have a plan for my life. I don't know what this plan is, but I hear you loud and clear. I'm leaving tomorrow. But I did have one request for him. I said, God, next time I pray, if you could answer my prayers other than bullets, would be great. So off I come to America, and I'm the guy who wants to live the American dream. And for the first roughly 15 years, I worked my butt off to try to achieve the American dream. And these are the things that I felt were the American dream. Successful business, family, bunch of kids, new house, nice cars, vacations all over the world. That felt great, man. Isn't that what we all work for? Isn't that what they teach you at university? This is the American dream. Go after it. It's all about the moolah. That's what I felt. So I chased it with every little bit of my body. But then there was consequences to that. First, I mean, I was burnt out a lot of the time. Had a little very time for myself. But I've had a sense of emptiness. How can it be that you have everything, but you have nothing? It's weird. I thought to myself, you know, why did they not teach me at university that if you do all this stuff, you wind up being empty? Your pockets are full of money, but you're empty. How does that work? But that's what happened to me. It almost felt like a little dog, you know. You drive down the road and there's this dog, it woof, 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 it chases your car like it's going to eat the car. But then the car stops and he's like, "Roo." Okay. He wanted to get to the car so badly, but now he's there and now it's nothing. And that's what happened to me. It felt empty. And so a friend of mine says, well, why don't you go on a retreat, a silent retreat in Atlanta? And God spoke to me and said, you know, I think this is what I want you to do. So I went. During that retreat, something really hit me between the eyes. And that the pastor said, I want you to divide your life up into what you worship. I thought, I worship God, man. What kind of question is that? He said, okay, I got this test for you. Show me where you spend your time and I'll tell you what you worship. My goodness. So I developed where I spent my time and look what it is. There's a tiny little slice there for God on Sunday. a tiny little slice for my family, a tiny little slice for a check that I would send for social responsibility to the church and say, okay, I'm done with that responsibility. But the rest of the time, me. Selfish me. Using people to get stuff. That was me. And I was empty. I said, God, how do I turn this thing around? And at that moment, I felt the most powerful thing ever experienced in my life. June 24th, 2006 at 11 a.m. I remember the moment like yesterday. I felt God's love in the most intense way that you could ever imagine. I felt Him say, I love you. Even though you're imperfect, even though you screwed up, I sent my son for you. And I want to call you home. I want you to do my work, not that self stuff. And it changed my life. This is what came into my head right at that moment. Call it divine inspiration, call it whatever you like. But I realized God is not a slice. God is the center of my life and needs to impact every component of my life. For you guys, those things around the outside may be different. But for me, they were my business, my family, and my social responsibility. But God had to infiltrate every one of those. And that's what the paradigm shift was for me. Coming out of that event, I realized that I'd spent all my life as a submarine Christian. What does a submarine Christian look like? Someone that comes to the surface on Sundays for 1 hour, puts the right shirt on, the jacket, sits in the front pew, has the Bible open on the right page, and done my job, man. But then where do I spend the rest of the week? Diving. I'm 20,000 feet below the surface doing my stuff. And really, that's what a lot of Christians do. Submarine Christians. I was one of them. So how would I turn that thing around? I really asked God, how do I take all the stuff that's in the Bible and summarize it in something that makes sense? And He said, I make it simple for you. I'm going to give you two things to do. Love me with all your heart, and then go love your neighbor as I love you. Wow, is it that simple, that big fat book? Uh-huh. So what if it's that simple? I mean, even I can do that. So the parable that jumped into my mind about the neighbor was the Good Samaritan, the guy in the ditch. I spent 20 years of my professional career walking over the guy in the ditch to get what I wanted. But things had to change. I had to find a new way. William taught me, he said, you know what, Peter, you got to stop using people to get stuff. You got to use stuff to enrich the lives of people. That really stuck in my mind. So how was I going to do this? There were a few things that were key paradigms in my mind, things that changed my life that I suddenly saw, thanks to some really good spiritual advisors, one of them, Buck Jacobs, who helped me with that simple little book called The Light in Babylon. That thing hit me like a ton of bricks. And some of the things that I realized was, I don't own the business. I don't own it. One of the things about a paradigm is something you've not seen before, but once you see it, you can never lose it. How many of you have seen up in the right-hand corner the FedEx logo? You've probably seen it a million times, right? Hands up for those of you who see that there's an arrow within the logo. The rest of you don't see it. Look between the E and the X. What do you see? Uh-huh. There's an arrow. I guarantee you from this day forward, every time you see that FedEx logo, you're going to think of two things. That crazy South African and the arrow. But hopefully you'll remember something else. You'll remember the slide. And this slide is the paradigm about what business is about. This gift that we've been given. And really it's about, firstly, we don't own it. I realize then, and I do this talk many times to many audiences, very different to you. These are CEOs with a very much a worldview. And one of the things I challenge them with is to say, you don't own it. And they're like, no, you got that wrong. I do. I got a stock certificate that says George owns this company. I said, oh, okay. Who really owns it? I said, who gave you the gift of a mind and the people around you to get there? That's when people start realizing it is a gift. The next thing is, with every gift comes a responsibility. What is that responsibility? It's to use it to create eternal value. As one CEO came to me, he said, after I did a talk like this, he ran up to the top of the stage. He said, Peter, I get it. I understand what my job description is as a CEO. I said, what, Fernando? He said, I realize my job is to help my employees get to heaven. Isn't that amazing? And you know, he gave me this little cross the next day. And 2 months later, he died. But his company was transformed. Isn't it beautiful when someone gets it? And that's what I hope, that whenever I do these talks, that I can inspire someone to understand the true meaning and purpose, the platform for ministry that we have, to help our employees get to heaven. That's the purpose. That's the reason we have all the stuff we have. And if we don't use it for that, it's just stuff. Then there's a really important question that Mark Twain poses. He said, what are the two most important moments of your life? And it applies to every one of us. Number one, most of you can get, it's the day you're born, right? Because without that moment, nothing else matters. And the second moment is the day you find out why you're born. And that's really the key. Why are we here? And that's the question to most CEOs. What is the purpose of your business? Have you defined it? Have you written it down? Have you communicated it? People look at you all, why do I want to do that? But it's the core of everything.
Well, don't miss the next few episodes as we continue the story with Peter Freisler. And that question from Mark Twain about the most important moments of our lives. The first, of course, we don't control. But the second moment, we must wrestle that one to the ground and have absolute confidence in our understanding of our purpose. I love that testimonial that Peter gave of the CEO who came up to him after one of his talks and said, I finally understand my purpose as a CEO, to help as many of my employees as possible get to heaven. Wow. And it's through excellent business practice that is steeped in biblical wisdom and understanding that we reach people with the gospel through the calling that God has given us as business owners and leaders. Well, here at FCCI, you'll hear us speak consistently about being a priest in the marketplace. God has called us to live into that calling and to do our work as unto the Lord, knowing that He is glorified through our business endeavors, which are surrendered to Him as acts of worship. We'd be honored if you'd consider joining us for the FCCI International Conference in Lake Tahoe this year. That's September 15 through 18, where you can learn more about all these principles. It's going to be another fantastic gathering of Christian business leaders encouraging and equipping one another in their calling to advance the kingdom through business. Learn more at conference.fcci.org. Thanks for listening, and may God encourage your journey today as you lead a company for Christ.